Hey everyone, what's up? It's Babylonius. Welcome to the second episode of what we're still calling the Peakcraft Podcast. We have a couple other names tossed around, but for now this one is sticking. This week's episode will be the first in our rotation to cover all of the monk specs. So today we'll be focusing on Mistweavers, the healing specialization. I'll be your host, Babylonius, and I know pretty much nothing about Mistweavers, so the next few minutes will be a learning experience for all of us. Joining me today are Garg. You probably heard his name one or two times before, as well as returning from last week is Anomaly, and potentially Harl may join us for the PvP side of things if he can a little bit later. He had an emergency come up, so hopefully he'll be able to join us. So thank you guys for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Alright, so let's go through the introductions. Garg, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do in the game, where you play, stuff like that, what you do for the community, all that jazz.
Oh boy. Hello, I am Garg. I raid in Synthesis on Cerulean, and for Mistweaver, I've been maintaining the teachings of the Red Crane spreadsheet since I think it was launched in Nighthold in Legion around that time, and I had been doing some theory crafting during the beta of Legion, and now we're in BFA and it is great. I also write the Mistweaver guides for both Peak of Serenity and Wowhead, as well as being the Mistweaver admin for the Peak of Serenity Discord.
Perfect. Thank you for showing up.
Glad to be here.
All right, so next, as I said, returning from last week is Anomaly. So Anomaly, why don't you go through your little spiel?
Yep, so hi, I'm Anomaly. I raid over on Mal'Ganis with Decidedly Uncouth. I forget what I said last week. So yeah, I maintain or I'm a mod in the Peak of Serenity Discord, kind of working to keep those folks on track. And then I also do most of the development on the WoW Analyzer Mistweaver module. So kind of keeping that up to date, letting the little robot there let you know what you're doing well and what you're not doing well. So, those are the two places you'll more than likely find me.
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
No problem.
So basically today we have just about the two guys that make the most useful tools, I, as far as I am aware, for Mistweaver. Is that too far off?
That's about right. Most of the teachings of the Red Crane spreadsheet wouldn't be possible without Anomaly's work on the WoW Analyzer module.
That is true. We're pretty tightly linked now.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, that's good. Cooperation is always important. So let's get down into it. Last week, Anomaly gave us kind of a little overview of some of the changes going from Legion into Battle for Azeroth. So we won't worry about rehashing them. So we'll just take more an in-depth look into Mistweaver. So Garg, something that I met that I asked Anomaly last week, but what is your favorite thing? What is the best change, or you know, the best difference from Legion to now in terms of Mistweaver?
The best. I'm really fond of them reintroducing the Renewing Mist and Vivify mechanic instead of having it as it was in Legion as a random buff on Renewing Mist ticks, to instead have Vivify heal the targets of Renewing Mist, as well as the initial target and the Gust of Mist mastery hit.
Cool.
Other things that have changed? I'm trying to think of it, and I think I'll have to actually look up some of the other things, but that's the biggest.
I think last week Anomaly kind of said that really there wasn't a ton of changes for Mistweaver, right? Really, most of the changes were to other healers, and Mistweavers were kind of the last class standing.
Right. I think like Legion to BFA, Renewing Mist getting a second charge, that's also really good, but it also ties into the reintroduced mechanic. Other than that, yeah, it's just been some mana cost changes, the initial spell power changes. Essence font, oh, yes, that's right. Essence font's radius being increased from 25 to 30 yards is It's absurd. It's like a 45% increase in total area covered by the spell.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that one. That. Yeah. It's a big one.
It's amazing to have. Like, you didn't really notice it, but in Legion, it just felt so confined and so tight. But now it's much more free.
So what you're saying is that the Blizzard took the 5 yards away from Brewmaster's Keg Smash and gave it to Mistweavers. Because I believe last week, sure. Peo was that was his one, you know, lamentation about Brewmaster was that, you know, that change in range. So it appears that it happened to show up somewhere else.
Yep. Just stayed within the class.
I guess. Well, I mean, you know, Windwalkers don't really need any range on many of our stuff. So I think it's okay that we got passed over on this one.
Lost the range on windwalking.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, who really notices that? I mean, really, if you want to talk about range for windwalker changes, you know, the fact that Flying Serpent Kick only goes for a second and a half instead of 2 seconds, that's a range change. You know, that's noticeable.
That's a thing that happened, that's right.
Yeah, I know, and that's one gets kind of swept under the rug amidst all the other craziness we've had the last couple weeks especially. In terms of how Mistweaver is in this lovely expansion we're enjoying, what would you guys say are really the biggest strength or a couple of the biggest strengths for Mistweaver that really set them apart?
Want to go first?
I mean, I think this expansion Mistweaver ends up being a lot better at kind of single target, maybe not burst healing, but just like burst and sustain, I guess you could say. I mean, we have really good, the change to Soothing Mist, I think, was really solid that it now allows us to insta-cast both Enveloping Mist and Vivify. Oh, I couldn't think of it for a second. So it kind of incentivizes you to kind of heal a single target, allows our tank healing to be really strong. They did a lot of buffs to Jade Serpent Statue, which kind of brings that in line as another kind of single target E talent. I think that is kind of one of the biggest strengths now for Mistweaver that we didn't really have last expansion, just because last expansion we were very much reliant on our mastery to kind of be that kind of single target burst we had, but it only affected kind of our, in a raid setting, kind of our worst spells, and there wasn't a lot of synergy around using them because of how strong Essenton was at the time, so I think that's kind of at least the biggest strength.
I really agree with that too. I think one thing that people don't really look into is like the spell power per tick of Soothing Mist. I believe it's on par with Enveloping Mist per tick amount.
Yeah.
So getting that sustained single target, like the boost, the buff to that and all, as well as the Soothing Mist change, which again, I'd completely forgotten about from Legion because it feels so natural to have it back because it had been a mainstay of both the Mists of Pandaria and Warlords of Draenor model for Mistweavers. So getting that back has been a real boost in the overall power of Mistweavers.
Cool. What would you guys say then, you know, on the flip side of that, what would you say is kind of Mistweaver's weakness? You know, what is something that you think really are kind of lacking compared to some other healers or, you know, what might be needed right now? You know, is there anything you guys feel like Mistweavers are kind of got the short end of the stick on?
I would say the first thing that comes to mind, and this is a bit like it can go one way or another, but it's burst group healing to the raid, because we, our largest, and this might not even be true, I'm just kind of spitballing a bit here, but Essence Font takes, like, depending on if you have upwelling or not, it takes up to 4 GCDs to cast and get it on all the people. And then you've got to go into a single target triage.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the same thing. I think it's that other than revival, like, we don't have a good instant ability to recover from like a bunch of people taking damage. I think if we can set up and be ready for it, we're solid. And that's where like Essence Bond comes into play, where we can use it at kind of prescripted times and when there's, you know, we're ready for the damage and we can kind of set up for that. But I mean, in a raid setting, definitely, but even in like 5 mans, if people take a ton of damage, we're going to have a, you know, probably a harder time than most healers. Like, I'm not going to say most healers, but a lot of healers, kind of healing that up. And the problem is if you give us the ability to do that, then we become the best healer in the game. But you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's a weakness that is there just from a balance perspective. Because I think in general, I wouldn't make, and I think I said this last week, I wouldn't make many changes to Miss Weaver because I think we're in a solid spot kind of all around. So to say we have a weakness is more just a weakness that's there from a balance perspective and not there because, you know, I think we actually particularly need that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You really, you know, kind of have to be, you can't be great at everything. There has to be something you have to give up some ground on. So, you know, I think that sounds pretty good. So, and actually that's a nice segue, you know, mentioning five mans, because the next topic I want to talk about is Mythic Dungeons. You know, that's always becoming a, you know, a much bigger part of the game in terms of content, in terms of what people care about, you know, kind of with the past couple expansions going from challenge modes and now, you know, eventually up to, you know, things like Mythic Dungeons and you know, the MDI and all this stuff. You know, Mythic Dungeons are obviously becoming a much bigger deal than really they were probably back when we all started playing, you know, a decade ago or however long it's been for some of us. You know, so putting aside, you know, pushing high keys or, you know, whatever you want to go for, you know, what's your experience, guys? What has your guys' experience been with Mythic Dungeons in terms of how Miss Weavers do? You know, is it something that you feel comfortable in? Is it something that, you know, like Anomaly mentioned, you know, things could be a little bit better? You know, how do you kind of feel that overall Miss Weavers fare in dungeons?
Very good. It's a very, very good place for Miss Weavers to be in after having been in Legion, notoriously left out of the high keys and pushing high keys. I'd say we're definitely top three healers, maybe even top two. Because going from Legion, Vivify was unreliable because it targeted the closest injured target to the target of the spell, which isn't really all the time who you need it on. Because it could be like a melee that took like 5% damage in a hit. You need to heal a person at range and the tank at the same time. But with the changes to that in BFA, you can actually plan out, and with a talent with Focused Thunder and planning out Thunder Focus team usage, you can get it to where Renewing Mist is on either three or more people in the group at a time and really just kind of burst them up and triage from there. And then we also have Life Cocoon, which despite everything people say, it's still a really great defensive cooldown, not just limited to tanks and damage reductions. And then we also have the ability to really quickly cast Essence Font and then cancel it and get into the mastery mechanic that's tied with it, which is when you heal someone with the Essence Font hot, they are healed with two events of the mastery instead of the one on mastery proccing spells. So it's definitely this little gameplay of making sure that when damage is incoming, you have Renewing Mist out so that Vivify can do respectable healing. And then also during burst, you want to make sure that you have like enough mana to get through an Essence Font cast and cut it off so that you can then burst people who are really low with excessive amounts of mastery.
Gotcha. So the like the little weakness, you know, of burst AoE healing, you know, that you guys mentioned really is pretty much, or can be kind of totally mitigated by just understanding what you're doing and tossing a little prep out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah, as long as we can set up and we know it's coming, it's a lot, it's easier, it's pretty easy for us to cover it. It's just in the instant when, like, people miss an interrupt and the entire five-man takes a ton of damage, like, at that point where we're kind of left to like revival and scrambling versus being able to kind of actually set up for it. So,
gotcha. Okay. What would you, you know, each of you guys say, what is your favorite, and your least favorite, dungeon to heal as a Miss Weaver?
Least favorite? Motherlode. I just don't like healing Motherlode.
Any particular reason why that one sticks out? I mean, a lot of people feel that Motherlode is their least favorite, but, you know, why does that one kind of jump out to you?
It jumps out because the trash leading up to the first boss is a bit notorious for uncoordinated groups and those without, like, voice comps to get crucial interrupts off, so you could be left with getting frozen by the,
the ice spritzer.
It's the spritzer, yes. Thank you. So you can be locked out from that. And then there's also the... It's just a nuisance, really. It's more annoying than not liking it. And then the second boss, the Azurite boss. Like, if people get a dot, it's a really heavy-hitting dot. And sometimes people don't CC at, the exact moment. So, people start getting stacks, and that's really hard to recover from.
All right, so Anomaly, what is your least favorite dungeon to heal?
I would say Motherlode, but I mean, actually, mine ends up being Waycrest, and it's Waycrest because of the fact that you can pull everything through the walls. So, there are, for, uncoordinated groups, there's a lot of times where it's just trash pulls last 10 minutes because you're in that hallway heading towards, it's the one boss that, belches in front of him, and you just pull everything on that side of the instance. And, it's random and not... there's no rhyme or reason as to why you get all that trash. It just keeps coming, and it's just not a good dungeon in my mind. I can echo Motherlode being similar, with all the trash, but I think just Waycrest. I think Motherlode, you go in understanding that the trash is bad. The first couple of times I did Waycrest, I did it not understanding why we have 800 trash packs on top of us now.
One thing that's been consistent with me and Waycrest is in the trash thing up to the Soulbound Goliath. If you cast either Revival or Essence Font, you can pull stuff through the floor and then it teleports up to you and just wrecks you.
Awesome.
Oh, not fun.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it would be all that fun. So what would your favorite dungeons then be? What's the one that you're like, yes, we're going in here, I got this?
I really like healing a Tal'Dorei. Mainly because on Vol'Kal, you can help do meaningful DPS on the reanimation totems, as well as you have revival for so many of the debuffs that can go out, like the debuff on Vol'Kal, where you... it's just a heavy dot, and oh, you wipe it out. And then on Rizan, the mass sphere that if people don't get behind pillars, you yourself can be line of sighted from people, and you can use revival to clear that without having line of sight.
Yeah, that I can see how that would be very nice. What about you, Anomaly?
I'd say I don't know if there's one particular instance I enjoy, but there's definitely boss fights where I get to use revival or Ring of Peace, some of the other utility stuff. I like the dispel portion of revival, I guess, to kind of do some things. So it's like the second or third boss in Underroot with the mushrooms, you can ignore them for the first half of the fight and just revival off the dot there. I think Gar gave some good examples of that. But even in Tal'Dorei, right, you have Ring of Peace for the priestess boss. I'm terrible with boss names, but the one that has the ads.
The blood lady.
Yeah, if you can Ring of Peace, the second ad, you can paralyze or paralysis. Yeah, the first one. So I enjoy fights like that. I think in general, though, my favorite instance is King's Rest, but that's more aesthetically. I like it. The fights in there aren't particularly my favorite, but some of those same mechanics where the first boss, you can, of course, ring and kind of kite and stun a lot of those little golden ads. Mm-hmm. So you never have to kill them. So those are kind of I like fights. I don't know if I like whole instances. It's a lot to commit to.
I think on the aesthetic side, I really love Waycrest Manor. Because I hadn't done any Alliance stuff on beta, because that's where my mom was at the time. He was Alliance. But I come in and it's just this eerie mansion that you gotta go through these tight corridors that really hadn't been found in the Legion dungeons. So there's really, it felt claustrophobic at times, but not in a super bad way.
I think claustrophobic is a good way to describe Waycrest and Tal'Dorei.
The one thing I hate about it, though, is the trash after Lord and Lady Waycrest, where the camera is just below. Like it's even with your shoulder blades.
Yeah, that little hallway there. Yeah, that's brutal on many accounts, especially when those ads like to evade and get stuck places.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so how about in terms of your guys' experience in Mythic Dungeons? What about how do other tanks compare? What do you guys feel is a tank that really fits very well with what Mistweavers do? What's kind of your favorite tank to heal once you get in there?
In terms of complementing Mistweavers' healing with a Soothing Mist and Enveloping Mist, and then the occasional burst when you have Renewing Mist and then you vivify the tank, I'd say Brewmasters really complement that exceptionally well. It also helps that you don't have to apply Mystic Touch when there's another monk in the group. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I think a Brewmaster works well. And I actually particularly like Blood Decay, just because of the self-healing allows, you know, as a monk to do some additional damage, right? You can kind of let them, let them do their thing. So I don't know. A lot of what I do is I actually end up pugging a lot my Mythic Pluses. So I kind of get to play with not just a consistent tank, but a bunch of different classes. And I found that honestly, the best tanks are ones that are just good. The class in general doesn't matter to me. Like just as long as you hit your buttons, like I'm happy. And, but yeah, I can kind of echo like Garg. I think, you know, Brewmaster probably makes a really good compliment there. I like Blood Decay just for the self-healing, right? Lets me focus on some other things. So
I'll echo the Blood Decay sentiment with Vengeance Demon Hunter as well. Because like they always have strong DR when they need it, and otherwise they have their self healing. I don't think I've run into a Prop Warrior this expansion, to be honest.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question. What is your least favorite tank to heal, and why is it Warrior?
I think the Ignore Pain change really makes it hard to keep a Warrior up and healthy and stable enough to where you can worry about other factors going on. I haven't really healed a really tough key with a Warrior. And I don't expect it to go as swimmingly as it would with other tanks. Yeah.
That makes sense, Anomaly. You said you've done quite a bit of pugging. You know, what in your experience is the tank that you're just kind of like,
It's actually mostly Guardian Druid. And mostly because a lot of the four or five Guardian Druids I've had runs with have played it like they're still like Legion Guardian Druids. I think that there's enough changes that like you can't do that anymore. So again, it's like a play thing. My GM's actually a Prot Warrior, and we did our first week of tens, like him and I did them together, and it was not fun, I will say.
Yeah, I did my first week of tens with a Guardian Druid. So about the same sentiments here, like it was fine. He's a good tank.
Just some holdover overconfidence, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, to be fair, like I think that's my favorite change from Legion. I know we're talking about specific tanks here, but I think in general, like the dungeon design is very much focused. They kind of went all in on Mythic Plus, so there's no longer that like random, just large, like unavoidable AoE burst that you need a DR for, and it seems like it's a lot more thoughtful in like you can really limit the amount of damage you take at higher keys, and I kind of like that change a lot.
I think you can really see that they put a lot more effort, like that this is a system that they're very happy with, and they really put a lot of effort into it because of that.
Yeah, we didn't see our first 10 key completion in Legion until well under Emerald Nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
They just did an 18, right, today or yesterday, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing, right?
By the way.
That's true. I have seen a couple Mistweavers pop up on those Raider IO first kills and stuff. So so that'll be, you know, kind of the last question in regards to Mythic Dungeons. How do you guys feel Mistweaver handles itself as the keys get higher? You know, is it a healer that can be brought to the cutting edge, you know, as we've seen, you know, there doesn't seem to be the kind of, you have to play a Resto Druid or you have to play a Holy Paladin that we saw in Legion. You know, would you guys say that Mistweaver is in a nice solid place in terms of being able to push those higher keys?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think...
I think as the higher the keys go, the more it is on, like, personal responsibility to mitigate as much damage as possible. So whatever damage is left over can, like, easily be healed by a Mistweaver.
Yeah, I think generally from, like, a utility perspective, like, oh, I hate that word, but, like, the other things Mistweaver bring to the table, I think, still are, you know, more useful than they were in Legion. And, you know, I think coming into MDI, we will probably see Mistweavers being played, which will be fun to see. That's kind of like the metric everybody uses. So, yeah, I think it definitely in MDI, we will probably see a Mistweaver, you know, showing up, and it'll be interesting. It'll be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. One thing is with, like, necrotic, like, you have to bring a piece to mitigate, like, to allow the tank to get, like, half of their debuff run out, and then you have leg sweep for a majority of the rest, to where if the tank is just like a roll away, if they're a brewmaster, like, the debuff just falls off. It's great to have all that crowd control in the class.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're definitely seeing a lot more use out of Ring of Peace. You know, we kind of saw how useful it was later in Legion, and now I think really people are starting to really appreciate the strength of that talent, especially when it comes to Mythic dungeons.
Oh yeah, it's always been strong. It's just that leg sweep has been in the past stronger, and that's kind of what has kept Ring of Peace down.
Right, now that we don't have to choose,
Ring of Peace can shine.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's shift our focus into raids. My very limited knowledge of Mistweavers, as I am more than open in talking about, you know, briefly looking through Peak and stuff like that, and every once in a while when I get pinged or asked a question that I can't answer about Mistweaver. So talk to me a little bit, you know, explain to our listeners a little bit about the play styles. What is tank sitting? What is kick weaving? You know, the big name that we heard previously before was fist weaving. How does tank sitting and kick weaving kind of compare to fist weaving? You know, why the name change, I could say.
Oh, this is a whole can of worms.
Hold on, I can take the names. The name change was because Garg wanted to make up something fun. So,
well,
kick weaving's
fun to say, but also it's because I think a more, like, serious answer was that in the past, fist weaving had been muddled because you had the Eminence gameplay from Mr. Pandaria and Warlords, where, from Mr. Pandaria, you had just straight Eminence, where, like, you didn't have to do anything.
Right.
And then fist weaving in Warlords was you had to be in the crane stance to get that Eminence healing. And then in Legion, fist weaving was Spear of the Crane and Rising Thunder. And so conversations kind of get muddled when you say, oh yeah, I like fist weaving. And, like, the definition has changed so much since the original iteration that I think giving it a new name was kind of the thing to do. Especially since fist weaving, like, in Myst, I only played on the tail end of it, but I believe you had to keep a buff on yourself from Blackout Kick Up. You had to keep a buff on yourself, or a debuff on the target from Tiger Palm. Then you had Jab as filler to generate Chi. And so using all those Jabs and Tiger Palms, because I think the Tiger Palm debuff only lasted a short while, you had to punch a lot. So that's where fist weaving came from.
Gotcha.
But now in BFA, you're kicking a lot more because you have Blackout Kick, you have Teachings of the Monastery Blackout Kicks, then you have Rising Sun Kick, with the only filler being Tiger Palm, and you can either alternate it, so, like, one Tiger Palm for every two Blackout Kicks, or three Tiger Palm for every four Blackout Kicks.
Gotcha. So it was a shift, really, from more fist-based abilities to kicking-based abilities, hence the name change. That makes sense.
Right. It's to get people on the same page that we're talking about the damage-healing gameplay of Battle for Azeroth, and not any of the three expansions that came before it.
Gotcha. I can see how that would be a good idea. So obviously I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that tank sitting means, you know, sitting on the tank. I'm assuming not literally, you know, sitting on top of the tank, but that, you know, a little bit more focus on tank healing, which I know in the past really was not an area that Miss Weaver shined at certain times. So how do, you know, just in a more general sense, you know, in a raid environment, how does tank sitting versus kick weaving compare? When, you know, just kind of, yeah, how do they kind of compare to one another?
Mistweavers have always been good at tank healing. It's just tanks haven't needed that kind of healing. They haven't needed sustain single target. They've had their own self-sustain, like through Gift of the Ox Orbs or whatever it was back in, like, Warlords of Mist. Just through all the sheer damage reduction. And then you have beacons from Holy Paladins, and Holy Paladins have been a huge staple of top-end raiding for ever now, I think.
Gotcha. So it's less that Mistweaver was not good at it before, it just, there was kind of a lot of other tools that made what Mistweavers do not as, in terms of tank, single-target tank healing, not as useful.
Right.
Or not as needed, I should say.
Yeah, this also goes with Enveloping Mist and its historical high cost to use, to where if you get, it wasn't uncommon to get like 60% overheal on it, which is terrible. But now it's more common to see, when you use it, about maybe 20%, which is really good to have for such a useful spell.
Namely, what about you? If you had to choose between tank sitting and kick weaving, and that was the style that you stuck with for this raid, which one would you choose?
I mean, I'd probably stick with tank sitting, but just because I think it's better in the raid. I kick weave. I mean, I started in Mist, and I played all through the original incarnations of Fist Weaving, so I'm a huge fan of that kind of damage to healing playstyle. I just think in Ultir, there's opportunities to use kick weaving as kind of your build, right? But I think in general, just tank sitting and the talents that are associated to that are just much easier to use, and probably, you know, a little bit like more beneficial from a raiding perspective. But I think I think the idea and the biggest thing for me now is that we kind of have a choice, which is like, as much as I get annoyed in peak sometimes about people asking like which is the best talent, and a lot of times the answer is it depends, right? And I think that's good from a general perspective, because it means that we have a lot of talents that are just, you know, very good, right? Which is a huge departure from Legion, where you basically expect yourself when you hit 100 and you never changed as a Mistweaver. There was maybe one fight you took a different talent, but for the large majority, we were kind of the cookie cutter build. And now we actually have some honest choices. And a lot of times it depends on your raid makeup or, you know, even some of the strategy stuff you do in fight. So, you know, honestly, which one I would pick, I'd pick to do kick weaving. I enjoy being in melee. I enjoy that kind of style, but I will generally play what is best. And right now that's kind of tank sitting and, you know, using upwelling and using those type of talents that are associated with it. So, but I mean, to be fair, there is no cookie cutter build for Mistweaver right now. I think there's a baseline that, hey, you kind of start here, but I mean, I've used all three mana talents on the four mythic bosses I've killed. I've used, actually used Focus Thunder the other day in a raid. That was kind of, yeah, I used it actually on Fetid, but it was more because like we had zero spot heal for the debuff. So like,
we were spread. Yeah, I've been pretty much focused entirely on the Miasma and Putrid debuff healing.
Yeah, and in our raid, kind of, it's our first night, we were running everywhere. So like upwelling, I couldn't find good spots for Essence Font. So it was like, I tried it out for like a couple attempts. I don't know if I like it, but.
Yeah, that's a bit of an issue, because sometimes when the Holy Paladin I have goes off with the tanks to the back of the room, and I'm healing group one that's dealing with the blob in the front of the room, I kind of just let out a quick Essence Font to get the HOD up so I can use Mastery and burst him up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of where I thought maybe Focus Thunder is being a good choice, because I can save some mana on Vivify, since that fight towards the end is kind of even tough on mana. So, but I mean, to get back on topic here. Like, I just think it's, I think it's fun that we have these type of choices and you can have this type of discussion, just with the class. So,
yeah. One thing that should be noted is that it's not so much it's one or the other. You can kind of mix the two. Like, I know on Zekvaz, I ran Spirit of the Crane and Upwelling. Because after every set of ads, there is always about 12 to 15 seconds of downtime to where you could get some solid mana returns from Spirit of the Crane. And incoming raid damage was low because there's just the ticking from the archive discs. I think that was the mechanic. So that was pretty much covered by other healers. And so really it was just getting the mana to heal up for the end of the fight, as the Titan discs wouldn't relent. And you were also losing players to the mind control.
Yeah, I can certainly see how a fight like Fetid, at least from my perspective, that would be a fight where I would totally sign up for just sitting on the tanks. Like, I don't want to be hearing, you know, healing all these schmucks running all over the place. Let me stay the people who I know are going to be roughly in a range, and let me just focus on them. There's plenty of movement in Fetid to keep me, let me just focus on the guys who are really not moving that much.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of merit to be had with tank sitting in Fetid. Like, I think I run Mistrap and Life Cycles and Jade Serpent Statue, but that's more so for debuff healing. Like, I always try to get a Enveloping Mist on a target that has the bigger debuff, because that just hurts, especially like a 2-stack just from accidents like that happen on that fight.
Speaking of accidents, it sounded like there were some nice sirens going on outside.
Yeah, that happens from time to time.
Hide, man, they're coming for you. So, all right, so then, you know, we talked a little bit about kick weaving and tank sitting. You know, what would you guys say is really something that, you know, is Mistweaver to a point, you know, you guys have both mentioned that Mistweaver is very strong. Is Mistweaver to a point where you could have two Mistweavers in raid and maybe have one tank sitting and one kick weaving, or both tank sitting and then no one else has to worry about the tanks? You know, is there any benefit? Is there any drawback to maybe having more than one? You know, I know we saw a lot of, we did see a couple of the world first kills and US first and all that stuff, kills having more than one Mistweaver. So I'm assuming, you know, the answer is that you can stack them, but I know with certain healers, a lot of times having more than one is not quite as desirable. How do Mistweavers fare in that regard in a raid?
There's no real major drawback. There might be more Enveloping Mist overhealing, just because, like, if both of them put it on a tank, it could really eat up. It could really eat at the others. But I think tank sitting is only part of the overall viability of that talent setup, to where it's like, it's not just tank sitting, it's more sustained single target healing that can be done to like Omega Vector debuffs. Like, that's a huge portion of Vectis. And getting that under control is really, like, Mistweavers are really strong at it, because you can have Jade Serpent Statue channeling into something, you can have your own Soothing Mist, and then if, like, the Absorb Shield from the ad goes off, you can throw Enveloping Mist instantly through the Soothing Mist channel and, like, completely wipe it out and then get them to a healthy amount.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, makes some sense, because I was going to say that Vectis, at least when we were progressing, Vectis seemed like a fight that really was kind of made for Mistweavers, in terms of everybody being nice and close, kind of a steady stream, you know, for you guys to heal and stuff. It seemed like a fight that really would let Mistweavers shine. So, Anomaly, what, you know, from the raids fights that you've done, what's a raid fight that you felt really showed off what a Mistweaver could do?
I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think Vectis kind of is that fight, just because you're right. Like, there's a lot of ticking damage that goes out, but then there's also priority debuffs that need to be healed up. So I think Vectis kind of shows off that kind of the ability, that toolkit. It also shows off also, unfortunately, is the fight that potentially shows some weakness in some of our talents, right? Because we end up taking, I mean, at least I ended up taking Manatee that fight. Seems like Vectus ends up being a prime either Spirit of the Crane because you're in melee, or even Life Cycles, right? Because you're going to throw some envelopings out. But I think in general, for me, I took Manatee just because I didn't have time to melee the boss, particularly in later phases. And just the Life Cycles there wasn't always a reason to enveloping a person. There might be a reason to kind of cast a Vivify into them, but not always enveloping them at the same time. So, but yeah, I think Vectus kind of shows that sort of like the thought process that goes into it, but then also that the damage patterns really align to kind of what's in our kit. So,
yeah, I had the same line of thinking with you to where I took Manatee because I think Omega Vectors only lasts, what, 6 to 8 seconds? I don't know the exact number, but casting an enveloping mist on someone that wasn't going to have it very long compared to when you cast it just really felt like a loss of mana, and there wasn't really enough downtime to get value out of Spirit of the Crane. I think my best attempt had, like, I want to say 20k mana, but I was so far under the rest of the healers and the Omega Vector healing that it didn't feel worth it to take that downtime, to force downtime to get mana back. Instead, use it on Manatee that you could have 4 of in a fight, I think. If you time it properly, you could have either 3 or 4. Or no, that's a 7-minute fight. I was thinking fetid length. No, you can have a lot. You can have a lot of uses of Manatee and get a lot of value out of that, because half-cost vivifies are really good.
You just gave up on trying to math it out there and just went with a lot. Like, you could hear the wheels turn, and then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you could just have a lot. Yeah. All right, well, I mean, yeah, that's good. That sounds like it really, Miss Weaver, it does sound like kind of what you guys are talking about. Miss Weaver is in a really good spot right now in terms of its flexibility and strength. You know, flexibility without strength really doesn't mean too much. And healers, you know, kind of maybe even more so than anybody else, it's important to be able to be strong and flexible, to kind of shine in whatever's needed to help your group get stuff down. So that sounds really good. So Harl has not joined us yet. So as we kind of get towards the end of things, hopefully everything's going smoothly with the stuff that he had to take care of. We will definitely take care of and have a PvP-focused podcast at some point in the future. Maybe after we've gone through Windwalker and Brewmaster, so maybe we'll just save PvP stuff as a whole to its own devoted podcast. But so moving on to kind of the last thing that I think we're going to try and cover and make it kind of a habit in these podcasts, especially since a lot of us are very active in the Discord. So each of you, can answer this question separately, but what is the question that you get asked in Discord, or that you see a lot in Discord, that if you could explain it or answer this to everybody listening and not have to hear that question again, what would that question be? What question do you really think you can just answer right now and solve it?
How do I talk in mystery for chat?
Yes, I think that really is not Miss Weaver specific. That's everybody. How do I talk in Brewmaster chat? How do I read the first line in Welcome Read first,
To be serious, though, I think looking from time to time to the questions that don't get answered, it's a lot of what parts of Azerite traits stack, and another that really sticks out to me is how do you use a two-handed or do you go main hand offhand? Which the first question about Azerite traits, it's everything stacks except Procreate, because Procreate stays consistent. It's like Netherlight Crucible, to where the amount of healing or damage a trait does stack. But if there's a tertiary effect, like I think it's Font of Life, it has a cooldown reduction on Thunder Focus T for a chance on each bull. That doesn't stack, so you don't get 2 seconds. You still get 1 second, no matter how many Fonts of Life stacks you have. And the other question, well, there's also Uplifted Spirits, which is a cooldown reduction on revival for Vivify crits. You don't get more of a cooldown reduction for more of Uplifted Spirits that you stack. It's just, you just get the one. And then two-handed versus manhand offhand, it's the best combination. There's no difference in healing because they're both basically just stat sticks. So whatever gives you the most value out of the weapon, out of what you have available, is what you go for.
Gotcha. So Natalie, what about you? What's the one question that you wish you could, you know, that you can kind of clear up right now?
All right, so there's two, but I'll pick the easier of the two since I don't know if we have all the time on the second one. But the first one is, do I channel Soothing Mist and then cast Vivify right after it, right? Which is a question we get a lot is like, how do you use Soothing Mist? And I think, I mean, we have a great article by Total on the site. So normally my answer is, hey, just go read Peak. But to kind of put it into where it's like, the idea is you want to use Soothing Mist on a target and then also cast into that target if that target's going to take, you know, some sort of sustained damage, right? So it's technically slower to soothing and then vivify someone because you end up with having to take into account the GCD of casting soothing, which is 1 second minus haste, and then the GCD of vivify, which is 1.5 seconds minus haste. So while the vivify is instant, it's still technically, you know, what's that, 2.5 seconds worth of time or GCD time that's spent getting it out, which is longer than 1.5 if you just would have hard casted it. So that's kind of the way I work it out in my mind is you're essentially, you know, while the actually healing portion of Vivify goes out half a second sooner. And to be fair, you're never going to save someone in that half a second. So that's in a hypothetical world where you're perfect, maybe it makes sense to do that. But for the most part, it won't. And in general, you end up going to generally waste time the longer, generally waste time getting heals out if you end up doing that, right? If you end up casting Soothing before going to Vivify. So that's kind of the biggest question is like, you use Soothing when you need to kind of sustain target a person or sustained heal an individual. And it could be a tank. It could be somebody with the debuffs we talked about from a rating perspective. And those are kind of the main reason. So in general, you're going to hard cast, particularly in a raid environment, Vivify, you know, we'll make up a number, but a lot, like 80% of the time, 90% of the time, you'll probably hard cast Vivify. And that 10%, you know, is when somebody's taking kind of sustained damage over the period of time. So,
yeah, it's more of a judgment call of when to Soothing Mist into Vivify because there could be some light taking damage that Soothing Mist itself could cover, but they're kind of at a lowish enough health to where you kind of want to get their health up a bit to a more sustainable point, so you just throw out Soothing Mist and then Vivify, and then you hold the Soothing Mist. And then Enveloping Mist is just usually always cast with Soothing Mist because the healing that you need in that scenario would be over a period of time to where Soothing Mist would be buffed by Enveloping Mist, and it's just an overall great synergy between the two spells.
Gotcha. All right, so I think something else I kind of want to add, and try and start doing, especially as we work through these specs, but if you guys could give advice to Miss Weavers, you know, something in one sentence, you know, just a few words, you know, what would it be? Like, to give an example, for Windwalkers, I would say, you know, downtime is okay. You know, people need to understand that, you know, downtime is an acceptable part of the play style. You know, if there was kind of a tagline, you know, a mantra that you guys could pass on to your fellow Mistweavers, what would it be?
So this is something I tell other people I raid with, but it's like, if it's particularly healers, it's like, use your buttons. Like, hit Thunder Focus T, hit Revival. There is no such thing as the perfect time to use your ability, so just use them. And get in the habit of using them. And then once you're in the habit of using them, then you get in the habit of using them at a better time than when you're using them. But I think a lot of, at least, you know, a lot of the times when I get asked, like, hey, how can I play better? Most of it boils down to just use your abilities. Like, don't wait for the perfect time to use them. Just use them, and then you'll figure it out after the 5 or 6 times you do it. Like, hey, maybe I can hold Thunder Focus D here for 5 seconds, and it's better, or something like that. But you know, in general, just use your abilities, and I think you'll eventually, at least in a healing perspective or healing point of view, like you'll learn to use them better the next time you do the fight or the next time you encounter, you know, that type of damage, right?
All right, Greg, so what about you? What's your mantra that you would pass on to all Mistweavers?
Mine kind of ties in with that. Mine is, don't press buttons you don't need to. Your mana will thank you later.
Brilliant. I think that really is very self-explanatory.
It's been I've seen a lot of questions about how people go out of mana at like 80%, and then you look at their cast and it's just using Soothing Mist and just spamming Vivify to people with like 10% health missing. And it's a bit of a nightmare.
Gotcha. So press your buttons, but not all the time, maybe. Yeah. All right. So now, you know, the last part of all these podcasts, we're going to try and talk a little bit, open it up to, you know, get some questions from our patrons, you know, the people that support the site, support us, support all the stuff that we do. So we did have a couple questions from our patrons. Thankfully, many of them were already answered in regards to kick weaving, tank sitting, different, you know, healing style, stuff like that. Those were kind of the questions. But the one, you know, I guess maybe I'm not entirely sure if it got answered. Maybe you guys could briefly answer it because we are kind of inching towards the hour. In terms of the two people, both Rin Alice and Hipchi from Thrall, both kind of asked how to properly use Manatee and that mana tier, you know, life cycles and whatnot. You know, if you guys could give a brief emphasis on brief, you know, synopsis of how to use those talents there and which ones when.
All right, real quickly, life cycles you use if you're using Enveloping Mist with any sort of frequency. If you're casting it, it's kind of arbitrary, but if you're casting it what you feel like is enough to where you're getting some value out of it, it's usually the go-to because the mana saved from having discounted Enveloping Mists and Vivifies is really strong. Spear of the Crane, you use it when you have downtime in a fight, when you can reliably DPS to regenerate mana and not screw the raid over by trying to edge out that extra 1% of mana versus someone dying. And Manatee, it's really just like the other two options don't fit because there's just so much healing you need to do.
Yeah, and then to, like, I guess for Manatee, right, because that's the cooldown base one, the best way you can potentially, you know, use it is essentially you'd want to Essence Font before you use it, and then use it right afterwards and kind of spam Vivify into those targets for the duration of the Manatee. And then towards the end, use another Essence Font just to get a reduced cost, right? Because the mana cost of Essence Font is deducted at the start of the Essence Font cast. So that's kind of how you would end up using it to get the most value out of it. It's not perfect just because, you know, with Vivify now interacting with Renewing Mist, you also want to make sure you have enough Renewing Mist out that it makes sense to do that. But, you know, at a very basic general level, like that's the kind of the rotation or the way to do it.
Awesome. Well, hopefully that makes a little bit more sense to people who actually play Mistweaver, because that was mostly gibberish to me because I don't really know anything about Mistweaver. So I'll probably have to re-listen to this podcast 2 or 3 times just to understand what y'all are saying. When we get to the Windwalker one, I'll actually understand what people are talking about.
More generally, you use Manatee, you use Essence Font before, so you can get a lot of healing from the Essence Font hot mastery interaction, Vivify. And then right at the end, you cast Essence Font again if it's needed in order to get a discounted Essence Font.
Gotcha. All right. Well, again, hopefully that's helpful for the people listening out there. So we're going to bring, you know, this podcast to a close just about, you know, at the 1 hour mark, which I think is pretty good. Like I said earlier, we will try and cover the PvP stuff in a later podcast, and have a couple people from different specs to talk about PvP maybe in each spec. Next week we will be aiming to do Windwalker. We're kind of going in the population order, and right now Mist Weavers happen to edge out Windwalkers for population. So Windwalkers will be up next, and then followed by Brewmasters. But thank you guys very much for coming. Thank you for answering all these questions. Hopefully they've been helpful for the Mist Weavers who are listening, or really anybody who's maybe thinking about playing Mist Weaver. So, Garg, how can people get a hold of you if they have any questions, you know, or check out you? What's all your social media business?
Twitter and Twitch are the same. GargMW for Mist Weaver, of course. And then on Discord, you can find me in Peak. Try to at me with something relevant, not just to at me. I think that covers it for me.
Yeah, what about you, Anomaly?
Yeah, I'm just on Twitch as Anomaly, and then yeah, I'm in Peak, or you know, the WoW Analyzer Discord, the two places I normally hang out. So, just say hello. You can at me whenever you want. Most people do, and I will probably respond or might ignore you. So, just depends on my mood that day.
Gotcha. I think that's fair, and probably how many other people have tried to ping you that day.
Exactly.
All right, so that'll bring this podcast to a close again. Guys, thank you very much for your time and for sitting and talking to somebody who knows nothing about Windwalker like myself. So hopefully you enjoyed your time.
Someone who knows nothing about Windwalker, that's... Oh, boy.
It's not surprising, to be honest, since we're one of the least played healers, so you're not alone.
Yeah. So, all right, so... Thank you guys again to everyone who's listening. If you like this kind of content, please make sure to support the site through Patreon and PayPal. If you support us through Patreon, you do get access to our special donor channel in Discord, where you can ask other questions, chat with other people who support the site. You can get yourself a nice fancy name color, depending on how much you are able to support us. If you can't support us that way, obviously it's no big deal. We will still continue to provide the best that we can in all aspects. I know Peak is a great resource for Mist Weavers, and I'm sure these two guys would echo it. Their tools, WoW Analyzer, Garg Spreadsheet, all that stuff are really fabulous tools if you're looking to get more information about your Mist Weaver and all that stuff. So, again, if you like all this stuff, please support us. Help us keep doing what we're doing. But this will bring our second episode to a close. And next week we will be talking about Windwalkers, and we'll see who shows up to chat with me. So have a good night, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. See you later.